Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series, by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 29. They're up there all right, but just on their way to the back door, and when I pull the truck into the tracks that run beside the house and they see me getting out with the shotgun in my hand, they take off again. I take a quick look around. No doors or windows busted out, and I wait a few minutes and decide to go on back down to the house. Nancy's still waiting for me, runs up to the truck. "Well?" I nod at her and open the door. She steps back enough to let me out and starts to grab me until she sees the shotgun. "Can you go put that thing up, please? It scares me." "Sure," I say, and head toward the house. Nancy and Frankie right behind me. I go straight to the closet and lean the gun against the sidewall, close the door, and turn around. "Okay?" I barely get the word out before she's got such a hold on me I can hardly draw breath. I'm thinking I need to chase off burglars more often, maybe every time she's here. I put my arms around her and we stand there for a second, and I'm thinking this is the best I've felt in years, maybe ever. I can feel myself starting to get hard, and I guess she feels it too because she breaks loose and steps back a little, looking everywhere except in my face. "Want to go sit down?" I finally say, because we're both pretty uncomfortable. Nancy nods, and we head back down the hallway. When we pass Mama and Daddy's room, she glances in and then away, and I wish I'd kept the door closed. It's still just like it was, a god-awful mess, broken mirror and all. I don't want to have to explain that to her. We get back to the living room, and she says, "You sure you're okay, Boone? I was scared for you. That sure was a brave thing going up there all by yourself." She's looking at me like nobody's ever done before. I'm really afraid I'll say something stupid, so I don't say anything at all. I just stand there. After what seems like a long time, she says, "I think I'd like something to drink. Got anything in the fridge, Boone?" I'm about to offer her a little shine and then think that's about the stupidest thing I could do right now. I don't really know her at all. And what if she went home and spread that all over town? No telling what kind of trouble I'd be in. So I say, "Thunderstorm soda's all, and there's water." "Water'd be good," she says. Sounds a little disappointed. I go get her a glass and drop a couple of ice cubes in it. I get my drink and put ice in it too and carry them both back. "Here you go," I say. Hand it to her. She says thanks and we sit down on the couch, a little distance between us. I think about the last time we were on this couch. She takes a sip of water. "Tell me about your friend," she says. I take a drink and set the glass down. Where to start? How much do I tell her? Not everything, that's for sure. I don't know exactly how to tell you about Gamaliel, I say. "What was his name?" Gamaliel. That's an odd name. I look at Nancy sitting there on the couch, telling me my only friend has a funny name, and I'm mad at her all of a sudden. She catches me looking at her and turns a little red. I didn't mean in a odd in a bad way, Boone. I kind of like the name. It's strong, you know? You just don't hear that name very much, or even at all. I don't know anybody else with that name. How'd you get to know him? She's trying really hard to make up for what she did, I can tell, and that helps some. Yeah, he lives up the hill from me, and I needed to borrow something once a while back, and I guess it started from that. She nods and doesn't say anything. I guess she wants me to keep going. He's a great guy. I like spending time up there. Not too much going on down here these days, I say, and then think that I'm an idiot. I mean, except for right now. She smiles a little. I sit back and think for a minute. One of the first times I saw him, he was in this really dark room, like an old person's living room, you know, lots of pictures and heavy furniture and no light. She nods. Anyway, he was sitting in there with a fiddle on the floor in front of him, and he was singing that old Just a Closer Walk hymn and crying. He wouldn't tell me what he was so sad about. He ran me out, told me to go on home. That's so sad, Boone. Do you think somebody died or something like that? I shrug. I guess so. I'm not ready to talk to her about that. Anyway, I went back a couple of days later, and he was better, and I started going up there a lot. I bet he likes that, she pauses. Boone, what's happened to the rest of your family? Hannah's not in school either. Nobody's seen your parents in the longest time. I don't want to talk about this. I thought you said you wanted to hear about Gamaliel, I say, and I can hear the scared kid in my voice. Nancy hears anger, I guess, because her face tightens and she starts to get up. I want to keep her here, but I don't know what to say, so I don't say anything. I just reach out my hand. She looks at it and then up at me. Boone, I don't know what all's going on with you. It's like you're mad all the time. Sometimes you scare me. Maybe I should get out of here. No, I say, and let my hand drop down on the couch. I swallow hard and say, can you stay and talk to me just a minute? She just stands there for a second, and then it's like she remembers why she came running over here in the first place. Okay, she says, let's talk about Gamaliel. So you started going up there. What do you do? I mean, it sounds like he likes having you there. You just talk and stuff? I try to think about what Gamaliel and I talk about besides how to make shine and how it tastes, and it takes me a minute. Well, we talk about his family some. He's lived up there for a long time, knows a lot about the town and all the people. He and the Thompson clan get along just fine. I don't think those guys that tried to rob us were Thompsons. Mrs. Thompson would kick their ass good if it was them and she found out. So I don't know who they were. And I don't know whether or not to tell Gamaliel about it when I go see him next. Don't, Nancy says firmly. He needs to get better. Besides, you took care of it, right? I look at her and she's looking at me like she thinks I did something really amazing. I get embarrassed and drop my head. I'm still looking down when I feel her hands on my head sliding down to my shoulders. Then the couch creaks a little. I feel her right beside me. She's rubbing my arms, and then she takes my head in her hands and raises it. And I look at her in the eyes, and they're bright and a little teary. And the look in her eyes is like an animal, like she's completely focused on right now. Her cheeks are redder than I remember. What if you'd had to fight them, Boone? She's whispering now. Are you strong enough for that? I'm strong, I think. Damn right I'm strong. I grab her shoulders and turn her, and now her back's against the couch, and I'm looking down into that face, and her eyes are locked on mine. She's breathing faster now, and I realize I am, too. My heart feels like it's about to jump right out of my chest. I lean toward her, toward those red lips, and she pulls me the last half inch and we're kissing like I dreamed we would. I can feel her tongue with mine and her hands are on my back, pulling me hard toward her. I'm holding myself with my hands against the couch and then I shift my weight to my left. My right hand is on her shoulder now and I move down to her breast and there's barely room between us for me to move my hand, but I drop it down and slide it under her shirt and back up to her bra, and all the time we're still kissing and my head is spinning. It's like being drunk. Hell, it's better than being drunk. And she's pushing me away from her and I'm wondering, is she testing me? Does she want to know how strong I am? I start to lean in harder and her hand is on my wrist and she jerks my hand out from under her shirt and ducks and slides out underneath me and stands up next to the couch. I'm strong enough, I think to myself, and I push myself off the couch and now we're standing next to each other almost touching. And I reach out to take her arm and pull her to me. And she takes a step back and now I'm really confused. Now it's like she doesn't even want me close to her. I look at her and her eyes are still wild, but there's something else there. She and I are looking at each other across the open space and the wildness starts to fade and all that's left is fear. She's afraid of me. Boone, if I stay here any longer, I... She stops, takes a breath, and continues. I really want to stay, but I better not. Do you understand, Boone? Please don't be mad at me. Hell no, I don't understand. You didn't like what we were doing? She shakes her head hard, left and right. I liked it a lot. That's the problem. It doesn't have to be any kind of problem, I say, and take a step toward her. She backs up and says, I can't, Boone, I can't. You know I can't. She's in the kitchen before I can even move, and I'm close but not close enough to grab her. I go after her, thinking, if I can just get a hand on her, I'll keep her here. I'm strong enough. Then she's in her car, the door closed, and she's crying, leaning her head against the steering wheel. I tap on the window and nothing happens. I'm sorry. Just get out of the car. We can just talk, Nancy. Come on back in, or we could sit out here if you want to. She's shaking her head, no, and I don't tap on the door anymore. I hit the windshield hard, and she jumps and puts the key in the ignition and starts the car. She's backing out fast, and I'm chasing her in the car like a damn dog, pounding on the hood. She gets the car into the road, shifts into drive, and takes off like a rabbit. And just like that, she's gone. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.